This is At Metal Metal with SoldisRadio.com. And up next, we've got an interesting interview with Henry Sotelo, a local prosecutor, defense attorney, and community organizer and activist here in Reno, Nevada. Our goal with this interview today is to provide accurate and meaningful information available to our listeners so that you as a voter can be making those choices, important choices, about the judicial candidates that are running for November elections. Henry Sotelo is running for municipal court judge. He is an interesting individual in the sense that he works 24/7. He's always out in the community. He not only practices law as an attorney in the daytime, but he also teaches as a professor at the Truckee Meadows Community College. We're going to talk a little bit about who his opponent is and what kind of qualities he has to be able to understand why this position better fits him. I know personally that he has integrity, that he has knowledge of the law. He's very intelligent, and most importantly, he has what a lot of people don't have, which is common sense. It's important for me to do this interview because judges must decide cases based on law and facts presented in the courtroom. But unfortunately, it has been my experience that bias does exist. And hopefully with Henry Sotelo on the bench, that bias won't be there. Why is this feeling of, you know, anxiety happens when we, you know, catch a case or when we know we have to go to a courtroom because of this bias that I speak of? We have to be able to start electing people that aren't biased, that are fair, and that don't have a personal agenda just because they want to be in politics or in power for 20, 30 years. So I hope you enjoyed this interview. If you have any questions or concerns, you can always reach me at djlaraza@soldisradio.com, or you can contact us at 775-583-8688. Thank you. Awesome. Well, like I stated earlier, we're going to go ahead and record this conversation, brother. It's going to be a kick-ass one. Thank you for doing the interview, and thank you for allowing us to, you know, meet with you. I think that our audience is going to benefit from it. And I'm personally, as a Chicano and American, am excited, bro, for you. And it's important, right? Especially someone who understands the laws, who understands our culture, our gente, even though you're American yourself, without being biased, you know, that others can see themselves in you. And so muchas gracias for the interview. Muchas gracias for the interview and for working hard at getting to where you're at now.
And it is a lot of work, trust me. I mean, it's been a great run, but thank you, Roberto. I appreciate you, Eli, setting this up, you staying with it and answering my emails back, because I'm keep on, you know, poking at you. I know how it is, though. I know I need to be poked all the time because I got so much rolling all the time. You just, it gets lost in the shelf, but I really appreciate you, you know, following through. And your support's been from the beginning when I did my first run in 2016. You remember that? That was a great
time. That's right, brother.
That's right. I really learned a lot there. I really learned a lot.
But let me just add that your sincerity as a person, as someone who's universal in the sense that you're not judgmental, you're caring, you got a lot of good qualities in you, brother, that someone like me, who has worked really hard to come from the ground, you know, and work my way up, that can literally state, you know, that you're appreciated, because a lot of people, especially in your positions, aren't as nice, aren't as caring, you know, aren't as humble. And I noticed that about you from the beginning, man, and I've never forgotten that. And it was just that, Henry Sotelo, that, you know, made me connect stronger to you. That's why when I said, hey, you know what? I know I'm not much, brother, but you got a friend with us, and I meant that.
Yeah, I remember that too. And I agree with you. I really appreciate the fact that you've noticed that. I just try to be authentic to everybody, the same person presenting myself. And of course, you know, when you're a courtroom, it's a different kind of level, professionalism, that kind of thing. But generally speaking, I just, you know, I think we've been kind of raised the same way, man. It's like,
from
humble beginnings, you know, barely middle-class family. Thank God for my family and my mother worked when she needed to supplement, but she was mostly stay at home mom, my dad, he was out there in the world working, and he kept working hard and trying to climb that ladder. He just didn't stay, wasn't content just staying in one position because it was easy. And so, I really appreciate it. I think I got a lot of those qualities, and it's helped me get through life because there's been ups and downs. Trust me, man. I've stepped in it. But I'm going to be honest with you. I think that's a good thing, too. You get a lot of wisdom from messing up and falling down. And the key is to try to get back up. And I know that sounds cliche, but it is true. How do you get back up from something you messed up? You move on. You make a mistake. You change paths. Be a little risk taker for your life. We've learned to do this. And I see that in you, too. We've learned to do this and roll with it and just to take the punches, mess up, admit to your whatever happened. I've done that, trust me. And then move on and say, okay, what I've learned from this, what can I do to be a better person and make it better? And those qualities I bring to the bench, those qualities I bring as a lawyer. And I don't know if you want to get into the discussion yet, Roberto, but the lawyer thing has been kind of an interesting thing because I wasn't planning to be a lawyer. It's just, I just went to high school, and then I ended up going to college up in UNR here, which I loved. And it was just an enjoyment thing. I wasn't sure what I was going to do, man. I was just kind of find my way because firstborn, second generation here, Mexican American. Nobody's giving me advice in my family because nobody knows anything. I kind of carve out the path. I'm like, well, can you give me some advice, mom? We don't know. We trust you. Go ahead. I'm like, oh my God. So a lot of lessons learned, but it evolved into me going to law school, which was a good thing. And it's been a good gig. I got to tell you, I wasn't always super happy with the decision. I thought there was a lot of things I should have done later on, but it was a good gig. And it's been a good stable career. And it's allowed me to do a lot of things and spread my wings and arms and do a lot of things for a lot of people. And that's what I appreciate that you've noticed that I go out of my way to try to help people. To me, the law degree is a privilege that I have. And if I can acknowledge and help people, for free, give free advice, I'm not trying to get anything more than, what I need to get along with my life and take care of my family. And I really enjoy doing that aspect, that community outreach.
Life is really a roller coaster. And one of the great things that I hear you mention is that, when we screw up, it's always important to try to take responsibility and not, point the finger. Unfortunately, for a lot of people, sometimes the psychological views in terms of how we're seen gets in the way and we let people's opinions, bring us down. And a lot of us aren't as strong to be able to take the punches and then get back up. You know what I mean? That's why I personally, and I know you feel the same way, don't like bullies, but there's always a right way, to handle things. And that's one of the things that I've had to learn to do, right? From how I was raised and from where I come from. But, growing and developing is always an option. And I think that a lot of people forget that. But people like you, brother, who lead by example, haven't. And that's why we look up to you. Now, this interview is very important, not just to our audience, you're welcome, but also to me. Now, my goal today is to provide accurate and meaningful information available to our listeners at Soldi's Radio, especially to the Chicano population, the voters, right, in Reno, Nevada, the 31%, so that we can assist them, Henry Sotelo, and inform them of the choices about judicial conditions, especially, in your position and what you're running for here in November election of 2022. So what do you say we get this interview started, brother? Because I'm excited.
Same here. I'm ready. Thank you, Roberto.
Let's do it. Are so welcome, brother. No, thank you, man. Thank you. First of all, let the community know and let me know how a municipal court judge position is different from one of a legislator or an executive.
The basic idea is that we have three branches of government. There's the executive, which is usually like a law enforcement, governor, mayor, those kind of positions. We have the legislative positions, which are elected by folks, your city council, if it's a city council, county commissioner, if it's a county, or state legislature, state senator or assembly person that goes to the state legislature when they meet. And then there's the judicial branch. The judicial branch consists of the lawyers and the judges. And that interacts with the other parts of the government. By them, we interpret the laws, we get the laws, we are establish you know, how the laws are interpreted, how the laws are applied in certain cases. The legislature creates those laws. The executive also signs off on those laws and enforces those laws, hence police being, or law enforcement being tied with the executive branch. So the judicial branch, okay, it's supposed to be neutral. It's supposed to be neutral. It's supposed to be objective. It's supposed to be judging each individual person, because we're a country based upon individuality and individual rights. And that comes from the Constitution of the United States and also our own state constitution, which is mimics pretty much the United States Constitution with other things that don't conflict. Because if it did, it wouldn't be in our Constitution in Nevada. So we have the Constitution. And so all laws come from the Constitution of the United States. And they're created by the legislature, signed by the executive, and enforced by the executive, and then applied by the judicial branch. And so, you know, judges, there's lots of different judges. So there's civil judges, there's criminal judges, there's family law judges. The judicial system is getting specialized like the legal system has been, lawyers getting specialized. Generally, when I first started as a law clerk for Judge Charles McGee in 1984, long time ago.
I remember him. Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. He was a good man. I'm going to tell you, I like Judge McGee a lot. He put his heart and soul and really his whole being into being a judge and into it being a good judge. And he helped create that family court.
I agree.
Because it needed to be separate. You need to have judges that are well-trained, that knew that law, because it became so intense and so specialized. And I saw it. And I saw what it takes out of people when you get in that kind of role. But he was a very good role model for me to see what you can do. You don't just have to sit behind that bench and just say, guilty, innocent. Here's the fine. Here's the community service. Here's or whatever, right? Here's the decision. You know, for the plaintiff, for the defendant. You could be active in the community. You could be an active player in the community and create a dynamic system that can change things for people.
And not to interrupt, but, you know, it's a small world, man. Little did I know you knew Judge McGee. He was instrumental in helping me with battle-born boxing. And he wanted to see it, you know, continue. Yeah.
Yes, he really is.
He actually reached out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he actually reached out and said, you know, what is it that we have to do to make sure that this continues? So, exactly, man. I miss him. I miss him in his position. He was a good man. And I myself learned a lot from him. Yes, sir.
Always nice to watch him. So when that's where I kind of got my first, you know, view of the judicial system was when I became, because you go to law school, you learn a lot of stuff, but it's a lot of stuff. The practical aspect, it has to be on your own. You have to reach out for practical experience, you know, that kind of thing. And I was able to get lucky and get that clerkship with Judge McGee and watch firsthand how it was done. And it was interesting to see. It was interesting how dynamic court can be. It's not very dry. It's not as dry as people think. It's a lot of arguments, a lot of advocacy, a lot of personalities involved, what's going on in there in all types of cases. Now, of course, I favored watching the criminal courts. Civil courts were interesting, but criminal courts was very interesting. And that's what got my eye about becoming a criminal lawyer, because this is where the ultimate power of government, not that I want power or anything, but the ultimate power of government exercising over its citizens. It can put you in incarceration. They can fine you. They can hold you on probation for years and control your life. You know, this is what government can do. And another thing, I got to see a couple of murder trials, man. That was intense. Mm. Those are tough. Those are tough ones. One, you know, that's Mills Lane time. He was going for death penalty a lot.
Yeah.
And so there's not that many now, because it's not really kind of people kind of adjusted the idea that maybe this is not something we want to do. Right. But at the time, it was pretty, you know, Reno, 1984. I mean, not that long ago, but long enough, right?
Right. No, totally. And you know what? It's interesting. You've mentioned that. We're going to go ahead and get a little bit into that in a bit later. But, you know, here's a question for you that some of my listeners wanted to know a little bit more about. And do you know much about your opponent? And is it a he? Is it a she? And if so, could you give us a little bit about their style and what makes you different from them?
Right, sure. And my opponent is Christopher Hazlett Stevens. It's a male. He's a male. Sorry. Okay. I've worked with Chris. Actually, I worked with Christopher. He was a prosecutor. Most of the time he spent as a prosecutor in the city attorney's office. That's been his longest gig. That's about 10 or 12 years. And all this time I've been in Reno Municipal Court, the last 20 years, I've worked with him. you know, I've been there before him, but he's been there for the last 12 years working in the city attorney's office. He's done a couple other things in his career. I don't know exactly, but they're not as consequential as what he's been doing in the last 10 years at city attorney. And yeah, I know him pretty well. He's a nice guy. What I got over him is this, plain and simple fact. My experience is far outweighs this. My history here in Reno, I've been here a long time, 40 years. Like I said, graduated from UNR.
That's important to mention.
30 years practicing law, mostly criminal law, 90% of that has been criminal law, felony work. I worked in the Washoe County District Attorney's prosecuting criminal law. And then I got out of that, went into private practice, been practicing criminal law on my own, got into this, city attorney's office. I did a prosecution there at the city level for a few years too. Learned a lot. It's kind of a different approach to the law, right? Lots of volume, less serious crimes, but lots of volume. It's a different kind of practice as a prosecutor. Then I went on my own again. And ever since then, I got that appointment with this Reno City of Reno's court as a legal defender. I am now one of the contract legal defenders. And I've been doing that for the last 10, 12 years, working closely with court. So that's when I worked with Mr. Haslett Stevens. And then 20 years teaching, of course, like you know that I've been teaching as a professor at TMCC. So I think my generally on the numbers alone in my career, I have far more experience than him. And during that time, while I was working in municipal court as a private attorney before I got the appointment as a legal defender, I also did 5 years of pro tem, which is substitute judge. So I did many, many cases as a judge, hundreds, thousands of cases as a judge. So I'm experienced being a member of the judiciary too, because you got to act like a real judge. You can't just mess around. And I did a lot of that.
That's a wonderful resume. You know, as you talked about earlier, judges must decide cases based on the law and facts presented in the courtroom, not on the basis of their personal views or prejudices. And we understand that. In your opinion, why is this statement true or false?
So, and that's a good question, because I'm going to say this, and it's not a lawyer answer. It's true and false, because I will tell you, but false in a positive way. True is that when everybody is called due process, everybody comes through that courtroom, everybody comes before a judge at that courthouse is in the process, they deserve due process, which is fair notice and a fair hearing. And that means they're a blank slate as far as what the facts are concerning the case. That must be decided first. They must be found guilty or not guilty of the facts, and that must be proven by the city or the prosecutor beyond a reasonable doubt. So the judge must always be objective, listening to the facts and not trying to preconceive or prejudge or get ahead of what's being presented. If you start doing that, you're not doing your job, okay? And then secondly, if there's a conviction, if there's not a conviction, acquittal, then there's not, and the case is done. But if there's a conviction based upon the facts and the law presented by the city, it meets the elements of the law, then the judge does apply the law. The judge does make a decision, applies the law on what the penalty should be, a sentencing. So this is where it gets, that's the true part. The false part, or the more gray area, is each person must be judged on their own merits. So even after a finding of guilt, they must be judged on their own merits, who they are. Judges got to learn to read between the lines. You know, see people's lives, see how people have conducted their lives, and see what they've been, opportunities they've had, or what things they've gone through in their lives. You know, what trauma they've gone through in their lives. And so I think that that's an important aspect. So that's why it's not just about, you know, just the facts, ma'am.
You are. More than
just the facts or the law. If there's more to it, and it has to be more than that, because we're treating people individually. You can't just say, oh, for all DUIs, I'm going to do this every time. Because then what are you doing? You're not allowing yourself to conduct yourself every day as a judge. And that's hard work. It's harder to do that. It's easier. No, go ahead.
Yes, sir. As the person doing the interview, I just want to thank you for reminding me, inspiring me as to why I wanted to, back in the day, become an attorney myself. You know, again, you're sincere. You're very knowledgeable. And the energy that you put out, you know, to give others regarding that is important, man. And I have no doubt that what you need to, you know, be the best you can in this field, you have. And so thank you again, Henry, for, you know, spending time with us and helping us understand a little bit more about you. Now, I wanted to ask, what are three responsibilities of a municipal court judge? Because you'd be surprised how many people just don't know what that role is.
So it's just like, it's a small, okay, so generally make sure everybody understands too, Roberto, because I've even talked to lawyers when I'm up there knocking doors and stumping and going campaigning that don't know the jurisdictions. They're very confusing sometimes. We got a lot of jurisdictions here. Exactly. That may change one day. We may go in the way of Vegas, you know, it's a metro, which I'm going to be honest with you, between you and me and probably the several thousands of people that listen here, and which is fine. We probably need to go there eventually when it becomes a bigger town, which is going to be, right? It's going to be a bigger town. It's always on our way. So so right now what we have, this is the way I do it. I try to do it in circles, think in the circles, and I'll do it with my hands because that's how I express myself a lot. The small circle in the middle, city of Reno, okay? City of Reno, city limits of Reno. The bigger circle that Reno's inside is county. Okay, so I'm just going to deal right now with city and county because we got enough space there for everybody. So city, we only deal with the misdemeanor cases that occur within the city limits of Reno. Misdemeanor cases are the smaller cases that are punishable only, not only because it really messes with people's lives, up to 6 months in jail, $1,000 fine, and you know, community service, whatever. But that's the most important aspect. That's the maximum penalty anybody could get for any one misdemeanor convictions, okay? Conviction. County, now we don't do any county work. The county's still big enough. It's got gets all the felonies. And then all the misdemeanors that are committed outside the limits of the city limits of Reno. So you got me? You following me?
Yep.
Okay. That's right. Exactly. That's what we're doing, the different courts. So we're Reno Municipal Court. In the county, there's Reno Justice Court, Sparks Justice Court, Incline Justice Court, right? So they got all these little justice courts, not little, but busy justice court dealing with a lot of these cases. And then ultimately, we all know about district court. It's there, big court. And they deal with the most serious crimes too, okay? So city limits arena, we're only dealing with the misdemeanors. So this is the deal about this kind of jurisdiction. And I try to tell people this. Again, we don't have huge penalties. I was a prosecutor, Roberto. I don't want to hear any noises about this, but I was pretty kind of a hard ass.
Right.
I was because I did my job. My job, I take it hard. You know what we do? We take our jobs hard, you know?
Right.
And I'm like, I'm going to, you know, this is someone's doing some bad actions. I'm going after them because that's my job. And I'm going to do what I think is regarding. Not everybody has to go to jail, of course, but I'm getting that conviction. I'm going to find a way to do it legally. Of course.
Right. Exactly.
And then I started learning, man, over a 10-year period, because I did it for 10 years. You know, after the first few years, you're like, you know, this is just, we're not doing the tools we had, main tools, you know, the three main tools those years, jail, fines, community service. That's it. There's no other tools. And we tell people, you know, get your stuff together, I don't know if I can swear. Can I swear on this?
Sure you can.
get your shit together. I mean, that's really how we talk, you know, we all, we're respectable, but get it together, dude. Don't come back. Cause if you come back, you're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people come back. And you're wondering why. Well, this is what we're learning now. We're learning now. We've evolved. So one of the biggest things, being the judge, the regular judge with those regular dockets. But the other aspect too, running the court and administration of court, spending that money, you know, the right way you're supposed to be spending it, you know, doing your job. But another big aspect that we're doing now and that I've been part of for the last 8 years are these specialty courts we're doing. That's a huge aspect of what Reno Municipal Court is doing now. It's put us on the map because we're a really forward-thinking court in that respect. And I've been part of that wave and, you know, part of the teams, and I'm really, really proud of that. So I'm going to say there's a lot of different things we do, but those are the real main things. You know, there's the trials, you know, bringing people in, making sure they're processed through, because it is a process. But the bigger aspect that's taking more effect now are those specialty courts where we're putting people in the places they need to go to get the help they need. So guess what? Put myself out of business, right? Mm-hmm. Not going to happen. We know this, but that's the idea. Let's help who we can, screen them, bring them in, hold them responsible, but make sure they get an access to resources and help.
I really like that attitude. You know, it's obvious. I can see that your experience in overseeing the legal process in the courtroom, it has been established. And it also sounds that you've had the experience to conduct even pre-trial hearings. And you know, what's good about your experience and everything that I'm hearing, which is important to me and I'm sure my audience, is, you know, the experience to resolve administrative disputes. Being a defender, being a prosecutor, I mean, you're definitely fine-tuned in those areas.
That's,
you know,
a good point.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. A lot of people don't recognize that we do also, and you gotta, I'm glad you reminded me, Robo, because I was, for a while, I was one of those City of Reno hearing officers. I did that for 2 years. That was the commitment. And what we would do is we would be the interim hearing officer that parties would come in on those administrative disputes, code violation disputes, come in and argue their point and advocate for themselves. The city would do it for them, and actually the person would come out on themselves or hire a lawyer, and we get to decide, and then any appeals would go up to the municipal court. So now if I'm a municipal court judge, or when I am, I'm going to hear those appeals too. That's a big deal, and that's taking on more
traction. It is a big deal.
It is because a lot of people are accessing that. They're not just, you know, saying the city said this, so I'm going to lay down. They're like, no, I don't agree with that. Let's go further on. They just don't. So it's going to be more aspect I see happening, like you said. And it's something I've experienced firsthand as a hearing administrative officer. And then you're right, seeing being a defense attorney, practicing civil law, and seeing the courts do this kind of thing.
You have no idea how happy I am for you to say that appeals are such a big deal, because no one's perfect and people sometimes do mistakes. And yeah, sometimes, you know, people deserve what they get, but sometimes, you know, things can go wrong, and maybe the conclusion to a finding or to the court hearings wasn't appropriate. And man, those appeals are just so important, especially for those that may still be innocent. So thank you so much for that. The other question I have for you, Henry, is a little more personal. And I know we've touched a little bit about it, but what personal qualities can you tell us you have that will preside a municipal court, you know, courtroom?
Okay. As me as sitting as judge, you're saying in my courtroom?
Yes.
Okay. And first of all, I want to say it's not my courtroom. It's the citizens' courtroom. And that's the first point of view I want to make sure that everybody understands about what I think about that courtroom. I work there. It's a job. It's an important job, I feel, and it's a job that carries a lot of weight with it. And you got to take that every time. You got to feel that every time you put on that robe and sit on that bench, where you're at and what you're doing. And so I want people to understand, I realize it's a citizen's court. It's with, you know, I'm not there to say it's me against you. That attitude comes up a lot sometimes. I'm not saying anybody I know in particular, but I could see that happening over time. That's not going to happen with me. You know, some people have told me, you're not allowed to have bad days. And that's true. I'm not allowed to have bad days. I got to come and bring it all every single time. And that's what I plan to do every day, is to be there, be present, and to listen to what everybody has to say, including, you know, the defendant. They're clients for me right now, obviously, but listening to everything they have to say. I can relate to people really well. I'm very personable, you know that, but it's not just a fake personability. It's because I have worked with people for so long in my capacities. And, you know, teaching 20 years does that to you too. That I can't emphasize enough having the dual careers at the same time. It's been hard, but very, very, you know, enlightening to me to have the law career during the day, and at night I'll be teaching, you know, night students the law. And teaching them is because they want to change their careers. They want to be paralegals, or maybe they want to go to law school. And before I forget, I want to tell you, you told me you wanted to be a lawyer. You should take some of my law classes, our program's law classes. Not necessarily for me, I've got other good instructors. Take some of our law classes. Never too late to empower, man. But you know a lot already. Anyway, the point, but I'd love for you to do that. That'd be great.
Thank you.
But,
I'll definitely consider.
they've helped me become who I am that can sit on the bench today, because I understand how to speak to people. Because when you're speaking to students who don't know anything from day one, and you're supposed to bring them around and teach them this stuff and not just say big words, but actually teach them the nuts and bolts for them to understand and apply, you know, it takes a lot of effort and work. And so I bring that to the bench. And at the same time, I've done all the jobs. I've seen from every position what it looks like. I'm not going to be surprised by anything. Because I'm ready to go. I'm ready to take that bench and to be that person. And like I said, every day I'm gonna be the best person I could possibly be to make sure that everybody's treated fairly, you know, fairly and with the process that's necessary. And also for me to understand their situation so things can be done appropriately for and sometimes against. So, you know, against them, right? It has to be done. Right. It was support of law, but at the same time, for what can we do? Where can we go from here? What's going to make this situation better for everybody involved? Blah, blah, things. So problem solving. So I think that's pretty much the core of where I'm coming from. The rest of it, all the lawyers and judges, all the lawyers know what to do. You know, the law of the law, research the law, understand the law. Of course, I'm going to do all that. But what you bring every day to that bench, you know, when you're sitting in that robe and someone's looking at you and they're scared, even though 6 months, 6 months is a long time. Someone's got a job in the family.
Yeah, especially the unknown.
You know, exactly. That's a lot of time. I can't. If I got 6 months in jail, I'm done. I'm done across the board. DC ain't gonna understand that. Why are you 6 months in jail? Well, we're not gonna hold your job. You know, right. The court's not gonna hold my contract. So, well, you could appear not appear for 6 months, Henry, and then we'll hold your contract. Right.
That's not. Thank happening. You. Right. Thank you for you know, being specific on, you know, the duties of a municipal court judge and the duties that it entails. Now, at the end of the day, you know, whatever the case may be, your job is to decide who is guilty or innocent on the basis of the, you know, of whatever evidence may be presented and in accordance with the law. You mentioned earlier that there was jail sentence, fines, or maybe community service, right? Mm-hmm. Please tell us a little bit more about that. What happens if the person is found guilty? What sentence does a municipal court judge, you know, give? Fine, jail, both, please?
Yeah, so to me, jail is gonna be the last resort. Someone that, the only reason someone goes to jail is because they're a threat to the community in some way, a real bad threat, okay? I mean, that's the last place you go to. I mean, maybe to teach someone a lesson, you put them in jail for 24 hours to make them think about what they did to screw up, right? Something like that. It's called flash jail sentence, right? So the idea now is to get away. And this is because the culture is changing now. Again, and I hate to keep on going, but the culture, the thought process is changing about, you know, incarceration. We know this. And also about punishment aspect on what it really accomplishes. And the data is becoming clear that just throwing someone in jail for the 4 to 6 months is not necessarily the way to go. So I just want to preface that jail time is still always going to be a possibility, but only for those cases that are so bad. You know, in misdemeanor courts, we get some bad cases where people are bullies or there's situations where it's you know, it's there's harm that could harm for another person or even to their own self and the public in general. So judges got to exercise that discretion, put in jail. But again, that's not a lot of time to put anybody away for any time, Roberto, and see, you know, if they come out in 3 or 4 months, 4 or 5 months, right? Get out with good time. That's not a lot of time to change anybody's character, whether, you know, jail could or prison, long-term prison could change character. I guess it could, you know, in a way.
Right.
But not necessarily always good. But I'm saying, you understand what I'm saying, the concept.
Yeah.
So the idea then is like, okay, what is the problem here? You know, we ask ourselves, you know, what is the issue here? What's the core issue? We have social workers, we brought social workers and therapists into the court now. And they have changed the face and landscape of judicial system forever, bringing them into the courthouse. And I don't mean literally, they're there watching everybody, but we have them working for the court on contract. And they talk to people and we find out what's the problem, what's the issue, what's the core issue for this person? Why do they keep on reoffending in this manner? And so that's the vast swath of cases we want to go to. So, you know, those are most people. Most people are not criminals. They commit criminal acts because of circumstance, because of the issues that they carry with them through their life, right?
Right.
They act out in many ways. And it could be because of drug abuse or alcohol abuse or even violence.
Right.
You know, let's just say this right now. Domestic batterers weren't born. A little baby, you look at a little baby, that's not a domestic batterer, man. That's a baby.
That's
and
so right.
That happens over time. And that's what we need to address is how that we can try to start steering that baby who eventually became a domestic batterer because of whatever circumstance they were involved with, right? How can we change that person, really? And it takes time. We have to slow down the process and there has to be compassion. Even for people that you would just not want to have a cup of coffee with. You got to have that compassion. So
let me just say that was beautifully answered.
Oh, okay.
You know,
trust me, it's just because this is where it's at. I'm not trying to be, I've seen it in action and it works. And it's where I consider you
a friend, because I respect you, and I'm sincere. You know what I mean? I've always kept it real in a sense, even though that word is cheesy, but you know, trust me, if there was ever any issues with me, people who know me know that I've been an activist and organizer, you know, yes. that I've done what I've always felt and I've followed my heart, you know, in more ways than one. But I wouldn't be saying that. I wouldn't be saying this if it wasn't true. I'm going to have to put you on the spot here real quick. And it's not a difficult question, but Absolutely. As a municipal court judge, and I remember because I've been in front of the courts, you know, my share of times. But when I was growing up in the 80s, you know, there was cases or arrests that I was involved in where honestly, just being a mogoso and a smartass, there was no other reason for me to go to jail, but maybe a discipline and whatnot. So I ended up in the municipal court, you know, room. And a lot of the times that I was in front of that judge, you know, the charges were bogus and the system maybe was a little more biased then. But how would you handle any, you know, possible cases like that where you knew as a judge, even though, you know, you're not supposed to have any personal feelings with respect to making decisions. But if you saw that there was obviously, you know, something going on that maybe wasn't right, you know, how would you best handle a situation like that if you had an individual that maybe you thought isn't supposed to be present?
Okay, so I will tell you, we still see that a lot. We still, you know what, the system is small enough, you know, it's big enough, it's big, it's busy, but it's small enough to know the players and know, you know, when someone gets in trouble or certain situations or, and also how the facts are presented, you know, again, as I said in the beginning, the judge has to, I mean, you can't have a person fresh out of law school be a judge, right? I mean, I guess you could, but that person is too, they haven't learned enough about how things really work and see them from the inside, from all points of view, which is what I like the fact of, about myself. And then be able to just be a judge and say, you know, that doesn't really happen that way.
Right.
Regardless, I'm going to bring experience, wisdom, the knowledge of the system on how it works, and my, you know, what I want to accomplish. You know, I want to make things clear about how things should be done. You know, I'm not afraid to rule against police in certain situations where there's certain motions filed or certain objections made. And that's another thing. I want to say this to your readers. I mean, listeners, sorry.
Yes.
I'm only going to do one term, Roberto.
Mm-hmm. I know. Really?
6 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Uh-huh. Because you know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because I'm not going to be worried about re-election. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to do what's right every single day. So I'm not afraid to make rulings that'll make me, you know, unpopular for 20 or 4 hours or 48 hours. Someone's not happy. Nobody's ever happy with a decision from either side, right? That's the way it goes.
For that, yeah.
So I will always, always go what I feel is right based upon what I have before me, but also what I understand about circumstances.
It's impossible. You're melting me, Judge. You're melting me. Yeah, that was
that's true. Awesome. I mean, otherwise, if you're not living true every day.
I believe you, yeah.
If you're not living true every day, if you're not living true to yourself every day, and it's like, you know, not every day is I'm living true to myself. I'm, you know, messing with my head or not, you know, being who I should be, you know.
Yes, sir.
But the most of the time, if you try to do that, that's the best way to go through life. That's just the best, you know, because we're going to all have our stress anyway, man. It's going to happen. We're going to all be, you know, whatever, in different places at different times. But I want to make sure that that's there and I leave that kind of legacy. And so I want to push as hard as I can with everything I want to accomplish, Roberto, in this position. And then I'll hand it off. You know, let the voters decide. I'm going to make the voters decide. I'm not going to get out early and do the, I'm not going to let anybody just, you know, get counter the voters. I'm just, if you read between my two lines right now, well, I think it's the voters to decide because that's the kind of position it is. If that's what the city and the county and the state want, they want these elected positions and voters should decide, not a small amount of individuals, if you see what I mean.
Well, when I say you're a chingon, man, that's just basically a badass. And we don't call people chingon just for nothing, man. You're one we look up to. And you already know, being Chicano, Mexican American, a person of your status is going to be looked at, you know, through a microscope. every day, right? Because you're going to have your haters and people are going to want to prove you wrong, but we know we're in good hands. You're going to be there representing and you're going to have your community behind you, brother. Let's get to the last question real quick. And I appreciate your interview, man. It's been very enlightening, especially for me. And again, you know, you have given me an insight to where it just, you know, tickled my tummy. And I'm so interested in logging as a result of it. It's like, wow, for the longest time, just my personal experience left a bitter taste in my mouth, but you definitely brought out the best of it again, my brother. And I thank you for that. So Mr. Sotelo, last question. What would you like to express to our large listening audience here at Soldi's Radio, locally and nationally? And where can people reach you for financial, to give you, if they're interested, you know, to offer financial support or to help volunteer with your campaign?
Okay, so let me put this down, campaign. So I won't forget that because my campaign manager, Adam Tchaikovsky, will not forgive me. So let me just say that first before I forget, because I'll get all long-winded and then I'll forget. So Sotelo4judge.com is my website. And on that website, it's a very nice website. I have all the stuff. I mean, because this is the way it is. You got to talk about yourself so much.
You do, brother. I mean, I bet you.
If you don't do it, nobody else is going to do it.
Exactly.
Not your opponent, right?
And you can't let no one speak for you either. So,
Exactly. Thank you. So what I want to show in my website, it's not just words. Oh, yeah, promise. Yes, I've done this. I have videos. I have interviews. I have things that I've published, written, you know, newspaper articles, talking about what I've been talking about, walking the talk. You know, I've all this time for, again, 8 to 10 years, I've been doing this for a long time, this job in the municipal court and focusing specifically on therapeutic courts. I mean, I've been practicing law 30 years, like I said, and 20 years in that court, but this therapeutic approach is the future of our courts and it's trickled up.
Love it.
Started on the lower courts because these are crimes and it's gone to the higher courts. Everybody's got them now, but we've got a really good core amount. But so Sotelo4judge.com, all that stuff is on the website and it just shows my track record with the law and with the community outreach. I've done many, many years of community outreach. So there are many boards and I don't want to go over all those, but they're all up there. They're all on my website. And I've been putting myself out there a long time for a reason, because first of all, when I found out what I can do for the community, because I started taking myself and my role seriously, like you say, Roberto. Mm-hmm. I'm someone that needs to be active out in that community.
That's right.
I did, and I loved it. I just loved to do it. And you think, well, you're doing free work for, I'm like, no. Because my mom used to say, I don't know what your mom used to say. She goes, you're not giving away anything for free, kiddo. You go, you are going to get it longer today. You're going to go for working and make a bunch of money. Don't give anything for free.
Yeah.
But that's not true. You got to spend free time, your free time. You got to do more than just your job. That's what makes us better people, better citizens. I can attest to you, I'm a better person for it. So it just shows I've done it, but I've enjoyed it so much and I've done a lot. And then I want to also say I'm very serious about what I wanted to do here. I really want to take this role on. I want to change the role a bit, the model of it. And I want to be an example of what more we can do in the system. I've been reading resources. I've been talking to lots of different people from parts of the spectrum, political spectrum. I have to talk to everybody, Roberto. It's a nonpartisan race. And I've talked to a lot of people. And some people have legitimate concerns. When I knock doors, you got some people, it's like, what? Does people get away with crimes? I'm like, well, let me explain what that means. And I talk to them about how I talk to you about it. But most people are not criminals. These are criminals. There's some bad people that need to be,
We
got to put them away because they're not going to ever get better, or they're just, you know, it's bad. It's bad. It's so bad. But most people are not like that. And we got to recognize that. Think about your father, your mother, your son, your cousin. And I have many of those. And they've all gotten in trouble some ways. Not all of them, but a lot of people. I've had a lot of people in my family. So I get it. I get that. And so we got to deal with it in a better, more reasonable way with folks like that. It saves everybody money. And also it's better for the lives of everybody in our community. So I'm really 100% behind this therapeutic approach. Always going to be accountability, first and foremost. And then buy-in. The person has to have buy-in and they want to do it. They're ready. Some people are not ready, but when they're ready. And that's the people we have the most experience with And thirdly, they're people that really need the help because they're in bad, bad places. And they're just going to keep going down. So
yes,
I'm going to work. Those are the hardest people to work with. I'm going to work with those folks. I'm going to still be outreach in the community. I love doing that. I'm not going to ever lose that. I'm going to be the man in the robe going to talk to anybody that wants to talk to me about what we're doing. And I told this to everybody. I like being out in the community and talking to people and informing. And that's that goes with my education background. You know, I'm an educator all these 20 years, and I love doing that education. So that's what I'm bringing to the table. And you can see the passion and focus that I want to bring to the bench. And I really want to change the game in the municipal court. I think there's a lot more to be done. And then so, and Henry, you know, so SotelloForJudge.com. SotelloForJudge.com. And I'm on Facebook.
Mr. Sotelo, we want to thank you for your time. Personally, I want to just commend you and congratulate you for all of your efforts. You're definitely an inspiring person, an icon, someone that I call a trailblazer, in the area of education and law. And I look up to you, and I'm sure my audience will too. They're going to appreciate this interview. I'm sure that people are going to reach out and they're going to want more questions. And I just want to remind you that you can always use our format here on Soldiers Radio, which is known as Reno Lowrider Oldies. It's a Chicano format, but Reno, Sparks, Carson City, and Tahoe, but most importantly, national. You'll always have a home here with us, and we appreciate you. I want to thank you for your time, for your care, and most importantly, for all you do here in our community.
And Robert, I'll tell you this. Thank you, brother. And I'll tell you, when I get on the bench, I'm going to come back in your program. We can talk some more. How's that?
Anytime. I would love that.
That's a promise. I love doing this. I love doing this, man, talking to folks like you.
And all right, brother. One of the best pictures out of Battleborn is the one where your son is wearing gloves at the club, and you have no idea just how viral it went. And it's have it, and I just want to appreciate. Yeah, I just want to thank you again for supporting what we do in the community, brother. God bless you.
Thanks, brother. God bless you too.
Thank you. This is Ed Metal with Soldies Radio.com. Your host. For the evening program, Soldiers Boulevard. And we just had an interesting interview with Henry Sotelo for Judge. Henry Sotelo's been a community member for a long time, from the early 80s. He graduated from UNR. And since my years of activism and organizing, he's been side by side as a Chicano working to better our community. I hope that you take this interview to heart. I hope that if you find it in your heart and agree with his views, you can support him. Please go to his website or contact him via email to see how you can assist him with winning this important campaign. I want to thank our listeners and our audience for tuning in, for always being faithful. And again, in Metal, reminding you to vote this November 2023. Muchas gracias. We're soldiesradio.com.